Krishna, by his sweet will, he will reveal himself to you, which is not many people who are very, very qualified. Actually, there are many very, very powerful people on this planet, many, many yogis who can do many wonderful things that may actually make us wonder that actually are they the gods or demigods? So, here, it's very clear that Krishna can only be seen by revelation, because it says that before Arjuna, Krishna says in the previous verses that no one else has seen this form. And those who were present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra could not actually see this Vishwarupa. But, I think in 1121, Prabhupada says, it appears that other devotees in other planetary systems also saw this form of the Lord. But they were only devotees in devotional service with divine vision saw that form, actually. So it's not everyone actually Krishna showed this form to. But it was obviously revealed to those who were actually in devotional service. So, in 1133, Srila Prabhupada writes also that if you want to see Krishna and his form, then you have to become nimitta matra, just become an instrument. And this was actually what Krishna asked Arjuna. And you just become my instrument. Another reason why Krishna showed this form is also to show Arjuna that if you don't take part, your case is finished. Krishna just showed him that everybody on the battlefield was actually killed. All the forms that were active on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were all killed by Krishna's arrangement, by his potency. So everything is moving according to Krishna's direction. But the most important aspect why Arjuna asked Krishna to show this universal form is that Krishna desired that he wanted to start the Parikula system which was broken previously. So Krishna wanted Arjuna to continue this Parikula system. So in order to do that, you first of all you need to know who the authority is. You know? So to establish Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness for particular purposes. Right? So just like that, Krishna wanted to establish that Parikula system. So when someone is establishing something, then you have to have a clear objective of why you're establishing something, isn't it? So Arjuna was actually the instrument in this Parikula system that Krishna wanted to actually propagate this Bhagavad Gita, the message of Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. That is why it is still relevant today. That is because it started by Krishna. See that if anybody claims that they are Krishna, then this is what we have to ask. Actually, I heard a lecture by His Holiness Kamal Krishna Maharaj, where he said that if anyone in this world claims that he is God or she is God, first of all, you ask that. Can you show me your Vishwarupa? I think this was in Mauritius or in Fiji or something. Fiji, I think. Yeah, first of all, you have to show me your Vishwarupa. And then after that, I think if I remember correctly, he also said that you have to show the markings on the body and also under your feet. Because Krishna has particular markings under his feet and on his body. So, this Vishwarupa is part of that. That to establish Krishna's supremacy, that no one can go beyond Krishna. Because the materialists don't realize that they're trying to measure the unlimited standing on a limited platform. You know what I mean? It's a very funny thing, really. You know, just imagine that you're trying to build a bridge. But you're trying to build a bridge not standing on the land, but actually standing on the water, or trying to jump on the water and try to build from this side. It really doesn't make any sense. It is really. But when it comes to God, everything is thrown out of the what is called common sense. Whatever logic that we have, everything. You know, in the material world, everything is so systematic. That's why we can actually accept some part of Bhagavad Gita. You know, we may not accept everything from Bhagavad Gita. Only the devotees accept everything from Bhagavad Gita. But many of us sometimes we have outside, you know. But you have to understand that the materialists, when they're doing certain things, they're very intense actually. Those who are successful really in the material world, they're pretty intense actually about what they do. They're very systematic. But when you mention about the systematic approach of how to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happens? Oh, I don't know. No, this is not found. How can you prove it? So then you can ask, so what is your qualification? So can you show me God? And then so you can ask, so what is your qualification to see God? That if you want to see the president of this country, you must have some pretty good, pretty important issue at hand. Or something good. Like right now, everybody's losing their jobs, so you must have some system where you can have millions of jobs given to people. Yet immediately, I think Mr. Mehta will see you. You know? So, unless you have something like that, nobody gets the audience of the Prime Minister, or the President, or, you know, the important people. And this goes on everywhere in the world. So, then you realize that if you want to see just the president of one small country, you have to qualify yourself with so much success and, you know, so many things, so many attributes. You must be a very attractive person, because you attract a following sometimes in that way. You are a big investigator, startup, in India, you know, big guy, right? He's actually like the Prime Minister, his family favorites. That what he says is actually what the government will decide on, because these people are so big. It's actually going on. So unless you have such credibility in the material world, you don't have to say anything. So that is how powerful people in this material world behave. They're very systematic. They have everything in place. They have everything in place so that they can actually say something. But their words end with their bodies. You know, that as far as you can speak, as long as you have this body, then you can say something. But as soon as this body is over, your words nobody will carry. When you look at Krishna, it's totally different. We are carrying on his orders. And why do we do that? Because he's powerful and he says so. And his devotees say so. And then we actually try to understand him. Then we actually understand that he's actually powerful. And then what he says actually comes true. That if you practice devotional service, which is a systematic process of understanding Krishna, those who practice, they actually get the results. So it's a very systematic thing. So here, Krishna wants Arjuna. Krishna using Arjuna as an instrument to specifically make this as a systematic process. That Krishna is not just understood with vague ideas. You know? That if you really look at the expansion of Krishna from the spiritual world to the material world, it is so systematic. That first there is Krishna, then there is the internal potency where Srimati Radharani is actually expanded into, and then you have the Lord Balaram, and then the expansion of Lord Balaram, you know. Balaram, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarsha, Mahavishnu, and then from Mahavishnu, then you have Kanakadashaya Vishnu, from Kanakadashaya Vishnu you have Gavadashaya Vishnu, from Gavadashaya Vishnu you have Shirodashaya Vishnu, who is sitting in everyone's body, everyone's heart. It's very systematic. And then there are three Dhammas, right? Haridham, and then Maheshadham, and then Devidham. And we are in Devidham. And it is simply stated why you are in Devidham. That those who are devotees of Krishna, those who never actually rebelled against the supremacy of Krishna, who did not then want to enjoy by themselves to become the supreme, they are there. And those who rebel against Krishna, those who want to enjoy by themselves, they are in Devidham. And there is a description here which I will touch on later. That it is said that how Gurudevi is actually taking care of this world. And actually it's very interesting because we have to look at that. The word Durga means prison. It is in Bhagavad-gita, I think in 5:43, where Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is very explained, he's explaining this, that Durga means prison. And her agency is this material world, this creation material world. Even though Lord Brahma is creating everything, the living entities and all that stuff, but she's actually in charge. And actually she is the actual eternal maidservant of Krishna, governing this living entity, who are actually desirous of going back to Krishna. So those who are here, that wants to go back to the Supreme Lord, she's actually the agency. She's working so hard to make this happen actually, according to Lord Brahma Samhita. So, when we come back to this verse, here the first Prabhupada actually speaks about, you know, Arjuna's friendship with Krishna and how he was actually very perplexed as to see Krishna's this wondrous form. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the five principal divisions of material relationships are actually mentioned, and there is another subdivision of that, seven, which is actually what you see in the material world. The five are, of course, you know, servitude, neutral, servitude, friendship, parents of affection, and conjugal love. And the seven subordinate features of the material relationships, these are actually how the material relationships are more based on. Material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. So this is how we understand that this material, this Vishwarupa was actually material. Because there's so much display of all these subdivisions of these qualities, actually, if we really study it. Because if you read the previous verses, Arjuna's behavior, as he saw the Vishwarupa, clearly confirms that the part of the material side of this. So, we can understand that relationships, you know, everybody in this world is actually looking for a relationship. No one can say they are not. Those who are not looking for a relationship are actually looking for a relationship, something they are actually looking for. Suppose you don't want to be with anybody, everybody. I know people who watch 24 hours television. So you try to. So if you don't want any person, then what do? You actually try to form relationships with things. Like television, internet. Actually, I was at the pub the other day and I heard this lady talking to a man. She said that, I think they're talking about some spiritual side in the church or something, where they say that now when they say fast, fasting doesn't mean that you just fast from food or this and that. Now they say you have to fast from the television, fast from the internet. And I was actually listening to this and I was actually very perplexed, you know, like how complicated this world has become. So that the millions of our lives, we brought all of these things in, and now we have to fast so that we can get away from those things. So, by very ironic, really, in our existence. So, actually, the form begins in atomic particles, actually. Right? Krishna says in the coming Brahma, Anishasana, Anoda Ninyan, Krishna says that he's smaller than the smallest. This is an absolute statement, and it is absolutely true, that if the materialist or anybody that tried to divide the atomic principles, that no matter how small you get, Krishna will be there. This is the beauty of Krishna, that what you can give, what is divisible in this material world, to the last minute particle, is more divisible in the spiritual world. Why? Because there is no limitation in the spiritual world. So sometimes people look at Krishna's activities and pastimes. Yeah, but we say all those things, but Krishna also takes birth. Krishna also lived like normal people. Krishna was chased by his enemies. Krishna ran away. He's just like a human being. What do you say? He's the Supreme Personality of God. But elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that Krishna is so kind that he actually comes to this material world and he displays his pastimes to the people in general because they like this. You know, people who, you know, when you watch movies or, you know, the real life situations of people in this world, you realize they like drama so much. Right? Everyone likes a lot of drama in their lives. Without drama, if it is very peaceful, they will make something happen. We are all experts in that. So, what happens in such a situation is that instead of creating peaceful situations, we create anxieties. So, anyway, coming back to the form, you know, it's very, very important that the beginning of this form is actually in the subtle bodies. It begins in the subtle body. For example, we can look at the material and we can look at the spiritual. The material person, you know, those who are architects, you would know that they actually say that form follows function. Anybody architects here? Anything with architecture? No. Anyway, form follows function. This is the principle by which the whole world functions actually. That means that if you want to build something, what happens? Actually first, the person who wants to design that has to think about it. And what is he using? Is it subtle mind? Intelligence, ego. And obviously ego is in place because I want to design better than anybody else. Right? And intelligence because of all the knowledge that he has. And he has studied from his university or colleges or schools. So using all and the mind, of course mind is the main principle, you know. So this subtle body first begin the process of a form. So you formulate the plan, then you come up with a blueprint, and then from the blueprint, then you actually go into constructing a building. Suppose you want to build a building, a temple, you know. So you have to think about these things. So but it starts with the subtle platform, and then it goes on to the lower platform. It's never the other way around. This also tells you that we are always more closer to Krishna than we actually think. If you are more closer to Krishna than we can actually stray from. Because when you actually want to do certain things, you realize that you have to go to the subtle and more subtle and fine elements that is existing in this world. I'm being practical. Why I'm actually touching on these things is because a lot of times, you know, when people hear this about Vishwarupa and all that, you know, they think it's a story. It's not a story. Because from the minute form to the biggest form that is available in this material manifestation, I say material manifestation because it's not just including the earth. I'm including the material universes, spiritual and material. The cosmic manifestation and the spiritual manifestation. So everything begins with a form. And those who derive the form, as with all due respect to the Mayavadi philosophies that are around today, that everybody wants a non-form, non-conformity. Do not want to, they want to be three fingers. That you can't think free, because you have to have the mind to think free, and you are bound by that mind. So those who say they are thinking free, how are you thinking free? Because you have to get up in the day. You have to do all the other chores. You are actually controlled by so many aspects, and you say you are free. So it's not possible that we can do that. And in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it is stated that how these five gross elements are developed in subtle forms to grosser form. For example, sound is actually found in ether. Right? But in air, sound and touch is there. And then when fire is added, there is sound, touch and form. And when water is there, then sound, touch, form and taste is there. And when earth is added, there is sound, touch, form, taste, smell as well. So it goes in that order, actually. Well, we can go vice versa if you take out those properties. But you have to understand, this is so systematic. So the principle that we find impressed on the to the mass of people is that these things are so systematic that it is not something that, you know, fanciful imagination. Because the Mayavadi philosophy says that you can actually think of anyone and anyone, especially maybe you think of demigods or any form, they say, that you can actually imagine, and then you can actually become liberated. That when you finally come to that platform, they say that you become liberated, that you can think of anything. But when you apply the mind, you have to understand that mind is actually material. It's completely not spiritual. It is a byproduct of material creation. So when you actually want to go back to the spiritual world, then you have to give up all the subtle bodies and go back, actually. Right? So then, what is the use of that? So, you have to realize that it is manavada, that you are actually contemplating on things in your mind, mentally speculating, and then you say that if you do this, you can actually attain Krishna. So this is not possible. That Krishna says that he is even in the smallest of the smallest. His presence is everywhere. Every atom, Krishna is present. Every atom. That should scare a lot of people, actually. In the material world, it is very difficult to understand that the form of Krishna is actually transcendental. Why is that, actually? Why is that that we have so much difficulty understanding that Krishna is actually transcendental? That means he is not affected by the dreams of material nature. The reason is that we try to identify Krishna as one of us, actually. You see, there are ways, there are nitya siddhas. Those who are actually not affected by the dream of material nature, when they come from the spiritual world, they are actually free from this contamination. Actually, they come to developers, Lakshmi Prabhupada, our spiritual masters, they actually come. They are not actually touched by the material modes of nature. We are, because we are actually, we know who we are. So when we really look at ourselves, we can find out that this touch of the three modes of material nature is psychomatic. The moment you know that you are actually affected by it, then you know you are not the eternally liberated souls. But the eternally liberated souls, like the spiritual masters, they are not in touch with the material at all. And it's not very easy to understand that, actually. So if you want to understand Krishna and his attributes, then you have to only look to one person, those personalities who are very close to Krishna in this world. Those are the pure devotees of the Lord. And if you really look at their activities, you realize that they are not touched by the material modes of nature. Well, we are so stressed out with our material world and with our cares, he is completely devoid of all these things. And you see that person is completely happy and blissful. And every day in, day out, they do one thing, and that is to glorify Sri Krishna. So, to understand, Krishna's transcendental body, we have to first of all understand our limitations first. Because from the platform of limitation, we cannot understand Krishna. So, materialist view is that everything comes from matter. The spiritualist view is that everything comes from Krishna. And the source of this, you have to actually study the Brahma Samhita. If you really look at from, I think, 329 onwards, still almost end actually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, I know he explains, but you would need a dictionary to really understand those things. There's so many principles there. Actually, I was trying to prepare for this class, but there was so much to actually include in it that I got a bit lost in that actually. So he explains very, very clearly, you know, how this relationship and the form and how they are interconnected, you know. When there is a question of like who created matter, it is beyond the purview of the materialist to understand that matter is actually eternal. That if it is, everything is part and parcel of Krishna, that how is that when we say that the material world is annihilated, it is actually completely destroyed? How do we understand this? Do you think that which is part of Krishna can be annihilated? Definitely not. Because what is part of Krishna is always eternal. They may change their forms. Okay? So this form, which may be temporary in the material world, is just a show, actually. And because it is temporary by nature, it's called illusion. So this illusion, those who get caught up with this illusion, illusory existence, they lose sight of their goal in life, which is to render service to Krishna. See, when a materialist, when he wants to construct or build something, he has to get help from the outside, isn't it? That if I want to build a house, then I need materials, I need manpower, I need money, I need so many things. But Krishna can actually simultaneously, instantaneously, can create universes after universes, millions of universes. In fact, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna has millions and billions of forms actually, ever expanding. And why is that? Because for every desire, living entities, spiritual, in the spiritual world and the material world, for every desire that you want to worship Krishna in a particular way, Krishna actually makes that form happen for your desire. So suppose if somebody wants to worship Krishna as a boar, he comes as Varaha. You know? If somebody wants to worship Krishna as Lord, then he comes as relative. If somebody wants Krishna to come as fish, he comes as Mahasaya. If somebody wants Krishna to come as anyone, what else? We have so many, actually. Tortoises. Yes, here tortoises. So many. There are so many combinations that Krishna, he doesn't have to think, oh, my devotee is thinking like this. He already knows your heart. So if the form is already there before you even think about it. He knows the past, present, and future. Because eternal time doesn't need time. You know, in the material world, when we look at time, we have to stop and think. Suppose if I want something, then I say, okay, I want to go get a bottle of mineral water. So I have to think first. Now I want to go get a bottle of mineral water. Then I have to go, then I have to walk, then I get, then I experience it. But for Krishna, it's not like that. That he can instantaneously do things, which is beyond the purview of our understanding. There is no department of education in this world that is actually studying these things. Prabhupada said many, many times that why they do those studies. That is great scripture. It's giving us so much information. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that, I think when he was asked, that, you know, he said that we should start a spiritual newspaper to something that effect, if I remember correctly. So I think then one disciple said, but what do we write about? So he said that of the whole creation, only one fourth of the creation is the material world, three fourths is the spiritual world. And the glories of Krishna that are being performed in those planetary systems, you would not have enough newspapers to write about. Such is the glory of the spiritual nature that it is ever expanding. Everything that is material is always contracting. It can't expand. You're taking from here and you're putting there. All we can do is this. Balance needs to change. What else can we do really with material? How do we expand the material principles? So you have a PhD, you should tell us actually. How to expand material principles? You can expand for a while, you take something, you put here, and then you can write a theory about it. By the end of it, it is always subtracting. That because as soon as there is birth, there is death. Because Krishna says, time I am in this particular a chapter, that by the influence of time, everything is actually decreasing. But the influence of the eternal time, everything is actually expanding, ever expanding in the spiritual world. So, where is the study of this? Who is studying this in this world? Only us. And if you really look at it, they probably think, oh yeah, there are some religious Hare Krishna people coming and sitting in Saturday, hearing some philosophy and going back home. But actually we are discussing the topmost science. This is very scientific actually. That my spiritual master said that, you know, in the past people would wear clothes, right? It's a very scientific thing because they would never sew their clothes. Today, when you sew the clothes, there's actually germs sitting inside there. The moment you fold the clothes, there's germs forming there. So, what we used to take 15 minutes to dry, we take 3 hours just because we bend the clothes. Yeah. And then we influence this one and that one, and then we have so many scientific improvements of dry clothes, you know, like all kinds of. Nike is a very good example of this. You know. They're coming out with all kinds of clothes. You know. Some are really good as well, but they don't look for your body. Then it gives you some other diseases. Then you have to go see the doctor for that. But it dries you very fast. But we just use cotton, which was given from Krishna. And then if you don't sew the clothes, you just put it around, like chadar, you know. And then you put it 15 minutes, it will dry. Those who have actually gone to practice devotional service, that's like brahmacharya or something, they will have a different section. That is cloth is so easy to dry. So you have to keep it very simple. So things will become very simple also. So this particular, even our clothes, has a lot to do with the diseases and things that are prevalent in the world, but we don't think about it. That's what the spiritual master tells you, like that. You think, oh, then you may get amazed, but you don't follow. Why? Because we are so ingrained in these clothes. So, anyway, the form and relationships. Every form that is formed, there will be a relationship. This is again another video of this particular verse, that how does the form and relationship combine, and then what is the result of those things? You know? Because here Krishna, Arjuna wants to see the Narayan form of Krishna. After seeing the material form of Krishna, so to speak, the material form, then Krishna wanted to Arjuna actually wanted to see the Narayan form. But actually Arjuna didn't want to see the Narayan form, he actually wanted to see only Krishna. Again, that's another reason why that everyone knows that Narayan is Supreme Person of the Godhead. I mean, at least according to the Vedic circles. So he wanted to prove that this particular person, Krishna, is actually Narayan as well. So that in the future people would not say that Krishna is actually an incarnation of Vishnu. A lot of people think that Krishna is actually an incarnation of Vishnu. If Krishna is actually incarnation of Vishnu and Krishna is Ekapurusha, you will never see any other representation of Krishna, like, you know, as Krishna, Shyama Sundara. But you see millions of Vishnu forms. If you have only, if you put your head in Bhagavad, you'll understand that there's so many forms of Vishnu. And according to the different things that he holds in his four hands, he has different functions. So those are functional personalities that are actually emanations from Krishna. And they have specific duties as well. And ordained by Krishna as well. So if Brahma, who has actually created this world, he says that if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to follow. Because if we don't follow authority, we get into trouble. This is also our experience in the material world. That suppose if the law of the society says one thing and you don't agree with it, and then guess what? You do something wrong, they catch you and put you into prison. Then you come out and realize actually, yeah, you know, have to follow the law. So Krishna makes all this law. So in relationships also, that when Krishna makes these relationships, he gives you this form as a human being. Even when you actually look in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad, especially Bhagavad, you know, there's so much information that the different, there are X amount of, let's say, there are 400,000 different forms of human beings, there are different forms of animals on land, so many divisions are there. Again, this explains that it's so systematic that all the living entities are actually governed. That everything you see here, there is nothing to discover. That actually the material science, they say that, oh, we have discovered another species. But you have only discovered, you haven't made it. So then who made those species? So if you really look at Bhagavad, the information is already there, that X amount of species are already there. So the human calculation is always within the spectrum of, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna wanted to show this Narayan form, just know that these people in the people in general, especially in Kali Yuga, they know that who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna was not an imagination of someone. Krishna Elijah was not someone who just took birth and died at a particular time. Because when Krishna appeared in front of Devaki Bhada and Vasudev, he actually appeared as a direct form of Krishna, right? And then he changed into a little baby Krishna. Yeah. And he has done this many other instances. So this representation of his four-handed form is actually an indication that it is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then this relationship with Krishna and the living entity has to be established, because the as Durvinity, you know, she is actually the principal deity of this dham, this baby dham that we are in. And she has like some 24 different actually weapons in her hands to punish us for so many different things actually. According to our piety, she uses different ones. If you are sinful, she uses another one. So there's so many so she has a lot of instruments on her hand. Actually, this is another instance where we can understand that when the demigods or the expansions of Krishna, when they have particular items in their hands, according to Shastras, you can understand what their functions are. You know? So, if you really look at Krishna, then this Tripanda Lalita form, that he is bending in three sides, is actually very interesting, because it just imagine, you know, when you are really paying attention, how do you actually stand? You stand straight, right? If you are in front of your spiritual master or someone very important,